I don't know if you've ever, if you've gone online to Google the YouTube video, More Cowbell, but I think of that many mornings here. Today is going to be a little bit different day. I probably have 15 or 20 things that have been in my mind to move to now. I'm trying to transition from the Ten Commandments to the Lord's Prayer, and I want to find a place to stand in between. At the end of class last week, I gave you an assignment. A few of you wrote it down. The assignment was, if we're to have a community that really does allow living God's way to thrive, what would that community look like? What characteristics would it have? And I do propose today to follow up on that, but I'm curious, before we started the things that I might say, I'm curious whether any of you have had a chance to think about that, and whether any of you have any thoughts to offer this morning. Kitty.
Well, it would certainly care for one another. We would certainly love one another. But we would go much further than that in reaching out to people in our community. And as we are a mission-minded church, even around the world.
Other thoughts? Other thoughts? Yeah.
I think the community would look a whole lot like this stuff.
You think?
I think it all comes in kind of the stuff that exemplifies the love of God. I really have.
Thank you, David. Anybody else?
To be an openness to people who are different from us.
Open to people who are different. Okay. What else?
Careful about crime issues. We see less crime.
I think that would be a symptom or a consequence, but not necessarily a front end piece.
Okay. I'm curious about
you. Yes. Yes, sir.
Leadership. Without a leader, the people perish.
I'm going to expand on that, and if I haven't hit the mark, you fix it, right? Right. God called leaders leading. Have I hit the mark of what you're saying? Leaders that God has called leading and accepted as leaders.
Question.
Yeah.
Are you speaking of community as in outside of this building or inside of this room?
I'm specifically talking about whether in the building as a whole or in this room, I think I can let that one be a little loose. The question is, how does a body of believers look if they really are in line with what God has called, with what God designed, and a place in which lining up with... We've talked for close on to 4 months about things that the Ten Commandments are really talking about. Place where those things are for the most part automatic, and perhaps there's a mechanism for bringing people back to God's place when they stray. Judith?
Spiritual
louder.
Spiritual support for some.
This may be covered in the first one, but when somebody needs something, act upon it. Don't just talk about it. Act and carry through.
Can I say action equal to words?
Mm-hmm.
when people talk about things, the actions match the words. Yes, ma'am.
Growing and sharing of their God-given gifts and talents.
You used the word at the end of that.
Talents. Gifts and talents.
I saw Bob, and then I saw somebody over here, maybe two somebody's over here. We didn't do this last week. We did not do this last week. We were, yeah. Luckily, you don't need quite as much. I listen every day.
Sacrificial versus.
Say it again.
Sacrificial versus selfish. It may be covered in a couple of
Bill, I think I saw your hand. Did I see another hand up there?
Servant leadership, along with leadership, servant leadership, and loving accountability.
I think we need to be forgetting.
I'm sorry, about 10 million neurons just fired. there's a direction that we're gonna go that we're not gonna do it today as much as I want to. What else comes to your mind?
Putting God first, seeking His will.
I will use the word that I used last week because I don't think anything up there totally covers it. That word is relationships. We just need to build relationships with people. I remember my military days, 4,000 miles from Richmond, and the Lord just brought some wonderful Christian people into my life, and we just had wonderful times together. It just covers a whole lot
of. The essence of community, I think, hides in that. Lots and lots and lots of other things find ways of plugging into that, but the idea of relationships is central, and I think you're right. I'm not sure that's covered by anything up there. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Now I've got a follow-up question. Do you know what your church says about this? Do you know what your church says about this?
Do you mean a do or don't list?
A conversation about what it means to be part of this body, to be part of this church. I didn't, but I found it on the website. I am a miserable, failing human being. So I edited it a little bit. I tried to make it fit onto a single page where you could walk out of here today with a copy of it. I would ask if you do this, that you take one copy per couple, except in cases where the couple's known behavior patterns suggest that two copies would be a source of comfort and a source of simplicity. My own family qualifies for that. I acknowledge that the copy machine down the hall failed as I put my copy in, and so Kathy Adlott was kind enough to help me with this. If I could get somebody to help hand them out on this side, I think that might be enough. If you want to help him, that'd be great. Can you hand some out over here? Bobby, could you take this group back in? All of these here.
The context of this, if they're being handed out, the context for this is a section on the church's website. I see Travis's language, so I suspect Travis has had a hand in doing this. But I do believe that the majority of what you're reading is church approved. Consequently, my editing a word or two here is probably something I shouldn't have done, but I did it anyway to try to make it read more smoothly and fit in one thing. If you take out a word, sometimes you can get a paragraph that doesn't lap over into a new line. Now, in that context, there are some points that are raised, and I have put those points down as numbers. As I think about it, I probably should have made membership number one and then let the others be numbered past that. But I want to draw your attention to the fact that we have, if you'll take a look in the third paragraph under membership, on October 18, 2000, we adopted a church covenant. You don't have to look there yet, but the church covenant is printed in the bottom right-hand corner on the second page. And then it says in the last sentence, there is an additional statement that was adopted by the church in June of 2000. And that is the body of what I have printed on this page. Okay? Now I want to draw your attention to some things. Number one, if you're thinking about membership at Bon Air Baptist, that means you're thinking about formally and intentionally becoming part of a group of Christians who meet, work, worship, and relate to each other in this place or in one of the satellite places. In describing that membership, the church has this statement added to its covenant. It has a section on discipleship, a section on mission and evangelism, a section on fellowship. John, I think that touches on the things that you were talking about. A section on lifestyles, which I think is somewhere around brilliantly written. I think that's simply a comment as we go along. A section on stewardship and a section on involvement. Let me draw your attention to a couple of things right off. Number one, which is the longest section? Why? Because where people invest their money is usually where they invest their time, their energy, their interest, and other things. And stewardship is here, as it should be, not only money, but it's a matter of investing time and energy in those things as well. Secondly, I want you to look at the end of each section. Do you notice a little sentence in bold? How does that sentence start? I notice an editor. When you decide to join Bon Air Baptist, now there is one place where it says choose, and I think all the other places it says, no, there's two places it says choose and two places it says decide, so maybe my editor's eye would have left it that way. What's the next phrase? When you choose or decide to join Bon Air Baptist, what does it say? You will be making a commitment. I'm not going to do it today. I'm thinking about whether we will do it next week. A friend of mine pointed out to me that there is, again, on a website out there someplace, some guy has said, we got the Ten Commandments. What we need are the Ten Commitments. I notice we have six here. But this guy says, I think we need Ten Commitments. And he enumerates ten. They're not laid out quite right yet. Some of them have a little bit too much overlap. It's like you're talking about the same thing twice. And so I'm not to the point ready to bring those to you. But I did run them past a friend of mine. And the friend of mine had a most interesting response. My friend said, oh, you can't use that word commitment, because the younger folks in our church don't respond well to that word. There are heads nodding around this room of people who have been intimately involved in the thinking that has already underway in our church about how to reach in an effective way folks who are in their 20s and in their 30s, which right now we're not doing as well as we need to do. And this person who is up to his eyeballs in that said, ha, you can't use the word commitment. What word is used six times for 6 points in those bold sentences. When you decide to join, what is it? You make a commitment. I think it's properly worded. I think this may be one of those times where our church needs to walk a tightrope between recognizing the reluctance of a group to respond to that word and yet still recognizing the significance and rightness of that word. Before you look at all the text that goes on, let's look at those commitments. When you decide to join Fine Air Baptist Church, you will be making a commitment to, under discipleship, to what? To engage in practices that strengthen, enrich, and deepen your Christian faith and commitment. Love the fact that the word is used twice there. My editor's eye caught that. I thought about it a while, and I thought, nope, going to leave that alone. I did a search on the word commit. I have a Bible that I can search and search quickly. I carry it on my cell phone. This is Palm Sunday. I have a Palm cell phone. That has nothing to do with anything. I searched on commit with a little star after it, which means I get commit, committed, commitment. I get all those things. Okay? The first, I think it's 15 times in the Old Testament that that word is used. It's talking about sins that you commit that you shouldn't have committed. The ratio in the Old Testament is pretty high like that. The idea of commitment to God's way of looking at things, to His way of living, to His values, and trying to build a community of folks who can encourage each other to walk that line and bring them back lovingly, gently. Accountability, you put the word loving, accountability in front of that. I think that catches the spirit of that. Even in the Bible, there's so many things that people commit or are committed to that aren't healthy, that aren't good. And committing to this, it's a narrow road. Would you contrast that with involvement on number six? When you choose to join Fine Air Baptist Church, you will be making a commitment to?
Invest yourself in
yourself. How are those two different? What's the difference between engaging in practices that strengthen, enrich, and deepen your Christian faith and commitment and investing yourself in the life of your church? One's for you and one's for somebody else. What else?
In order to invest yourself in the life of the church, you should have already done strengthening, enriching, and deepening your Christian faith.
I think you have seen what I was trying to help you see. These are in order. Somebody has thought about the order of these. The investment in the larger life of the church comes after your spiritual commitment has been deepened and strengthened. Let me go back and look at one or two things. Look at the paragraph, the lighter print, the paragraph for fellowship. Because I think it addresses some of what my challenge last week was to you to sort of pull out and find. Fine Air Baptist Church is a community of faith. In many ways, we are like a family. Being a healthy, loving family requires a commitment. The Lord of the church, that's Jesus, is perfect. The members of the church, finish it for me, are not. Therefore, we affirm our dedication to loving relationships even when we have differences and even when our fellow church members may not be as lovable as we'd like. And maybe they'll make a commitment to still be in relationship with us when we're not as lovable as we recognize. A large church seems smaller and more intimate when individuals join smaller groups. They mention a couple of possibilities, Sunday morning Bible study classes or small groups. We encourage everyone thinking about membership here to consider seriously the opportunity to join fellow believers in the fellowship and accountability that smaller groups offer. When you decide to join Found Our Baptist Church, it goes on, you're making a commitment to what? A devotion to your Christian brothers and sisters. And I love the way it finishes, especially the ones who happen to be members here. Have any of you had the experience of partnering with other groups? When some of you were out working on Habitat, I think there were some folks from another church who were there. Sometimes when we go in to do various projects and work, we're often partnering with other groups. I think in the prison ministry, there's some folks who come in. Caritas, this year, Caritas has come and gone. Did any of you serve meals? You have in past years. Were you part of serving meals? No, you weren't. You know why? There are churches that do not have the space we have. And Valerie is trying out a partnership arrangement where those churches get a chance to do this kind of work in our kind of setting. We had the experience of coming in and joining with one of those churches because it's a church that we had had some relationships with at one point in the past. And so we got to serve alongside of them. That's building relationships between our two churches. I've encouraged them to think about finding a few of us to go and partner with each of those so that on those nights there can be Bon Air members and members from other places. Yeah. A little louder.
I think what's interesting in each instance of the bold print, you notice that there are active verbs, there's be, invest, live, engage. They're all do verbs. Right at the beginning of that, you know, right after it says you will be making a commitment to, that it's a pretty active word. Now just sit around and talk.
I think that's a powerful observation. Let me encourage you to take a look for a moment at the lifestyle section. In the Bible, we read in Thessalonians, God did not call us to be impure. He called us to live a holy life. We recognize that Jesus is the only one ever to have done that perfectly, but we challenge each other to represent Jesus well in our world by striving for purity. In all areas of our lives, we aspire to holiness. The lifestyle that outsiders see us live reflects on our fellow church members. Thus, in our moral and ethical choices, we must be above even the appearance of impropriety. We aim to be ruthlessly truthful in business dealings, honest in our academic pursuits, straightforward in our relationships, and fair in our dealings with people. The next paragraph, I think, is wonderfully written, and I applaud whoever was the person who wrote the draft. We teach the biblical standard of sexual purity while emphasizing that the important decision is to be sexually pure from this point forward. People who have chosen not to commit to a lifestyle of celibacy outside of marriage will be warmly welcomed for worship and fellowship, but will not find that lifestyle choice affirmed in our teaching. People who are embraced by Bon Air Baptist Church, no matter their place along the spiritual journey, but leadership is reserved for those whose lifestyles demonstrate what we believe to be biblical standards. Do you know your church had written this? I didn't until this week. Have you had a chance to skim this? Many of you, I suspect, have been reading through it. Does that capture things up here? Is there anything up here that's not there? Look back at your list. Look at this list. It's that one head on. One aspect, anyway. I don't know if this is overtly worded. It's implied. Okay. So let me take a minute and see if I can tie this together. Some of you have been to the worship service already. Some of you haven't. It will not, I think, take away from the power of today for me to say this much.
The subject is the last week of Jesus' life. We've been looking at scenes from the life of Jesus, and this time it's the life in his last week before his death on the cross. Travis said something very interesting about Scripture. Those of you who were there, did you pick it up? What fraction of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, roughly what fraction is devoted to that last week, one third? Okay? And a significant part of the book of John, something approaching half of the book of John, is devoted to what happened in the upper room on that last night. I found myself thinking something this morning. I saw some pictures yesterday. They posted them on Facebook where everybody can look at them, of my little grandnephew that I told you about last week. He is the child of a junior who is the grand, and therefore the grandson of a senior, so he's the third, and they're calling him Trey. Those are wonderful moments in a time, but Janet and Ron are going through something really hard. And the question I had is, can you think of a moment where life was changing and people were parting, and you got to witness the last words of somebody? Because that's what the book of John tells us. It's Jesus' words to his disciples. And it was his last time before the crucifixion to have that kind of conversation with them. I don't suggest that there is a parallel of any strength at all. But I can remember coming up on 3 years ago, when my mother fell down some stairs and landed on a concrete landing, broke her hip in 5 places, and had to go into rehab. And my dad was dealing with Alzheimer's, and it had gotten pretty bad. And we ended up having to put him into an Alzheimer's unit. And it turned out Mom followed him into the assisted living area of that same place. I saw my mother in the hospital room, talking to my dad. She pushed us out the door, but we weren't so far we couldn't hear. And I heard my mother talk to my dad, dealing with Alzheimer's, struggling to make sense of anything anybody says to us. And she said to him, "Things are going to change. They're going to be different, and there's nothing we can do about that. But we have had wonderful years together. You need to remember the wonderful years. And you need to accept the changes." The parallel is not strong, but there is a parallel. Jesus with his disciples in the upper room says, "It's changing. I'm going to be with you in a different way. My spirit will be there, but I will not. And I'm calling on you to build a body of people who live in such a way that it's a beacon of light for God in a dark world. And if we could live in such a way that others will be attracted, if only by the strength of living that people experience. A kind of living that even when the hour is dark and times are hard, still shines with hope, still shines with faith, still shines with perseverance and endurance." And what is it built on? It's built on the third great command. Love each other. Love each other. Love God, love your neighbors, and love each other. The most important is loving God. Everything flows from that. But I think loving your neighbor flows from loving each other. We practice on each other, and we put it into practice outside. I think loving your neighbor is the central command, and the power to do that in the way God wants us to flows from both ends. I don't know if I can express how much you encourage me. I don't know if I can express my overwhelming gratitude that somehow in this room something special has happened, as Debbie said this morning. There are wonderful people who come here. You are building community. but I don't know that we've ever stopped and thought about the value of what we have, the power that resides in that. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe we shouldn't focus on that all the time. But I think every once in a while to step aside and take a good hard look at what we have and why it works. It works when people don't get swelled heads about how important they are, but instead get swelled hearts for how much they want to be part of and connected to the lives of the people around them. I think it works when people recognize God is God and has things to do. And He's going to do it not through me, but through us. And I can be part of that. We are called to discipleship. We are called to missions and evangelism. We are called to fellowship. We are called to lifestyles that honor God. We are called to stewardship of the things that God has blessed us with. And we are called to investment and involvement in the world around us. And if we are part of this church, that's what we're part of. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, we thank You for the time You give us. We thank You especially for the church that You have planted in this place. We honor the people like Lois and like Janie who were here in those early days. And we thank You for the newest members, the ones who are just now joining. We thank You for the relationships that we build with You. We thank You for the relationships we build with each other. And we thank You for the opportunities You give us to serve. Here among our own folks, outside the doors in our community, and all around the world. Teach us in every case how to be part of Your kingdom. Keep us aware of and worshiping You in every day. We pray all this in Your Son's name.